headed back in. Turned in! A second of the game for Van Veen, and he is loving it. Cornelius on the edge of the ball. Oh, wow! How special is that for his first Motherwell goal? For Slatnick, and he shot away. It's a fantastic strike. And it's thundered in by Liam Grimshaw. What a moment for him, the fans' favourite.
Hello and welcome to the MFC podcast. Slightly quieter episode tonight after a hectic one last week, but we've still got plenty to talk about. Motherwell win 3-2 at Pittodrie. Stuart McKinstry arrives back at Fir Park. We've been linked with some interesting names as well. I'm joined tonight by Jaffa, and we're going to go over all those talking points and maybe a wee bit more over the next three quarters of an hour or so. Mate, how are you getting on?
I'm doing well, mate. Doing well.
Good to hear it. We'll start with the victory against Aberdeen on Saturday there. An excellent performance, one. I'm struggling to think of better than since... Well, I don't know, actually. It would definitely be one of the COVID games. Maybe the 3-0 at Pittodrie is the closest that we've come to matching that when we kind of blew them away in the first half. But even then, this was a really complete performance against what I think is shaping up to be quite a decent Aberdeen side. Even more impressive that after going ahead... Well, this is an impressive thing, I suppose, that we fell 2-1 behind. But the character the team showed, they continued to stick with it, quite quickly turned it around to 3-2, and after that, going to create a lot of chances as well. Jeff, it was a really complete performance, and Stevie Harrell, rightfully afterwards, delighted with it.
Oh, absolutely, and every right to be delighted with it. It's one of these things that I'm never, ever confident getting into Motherwell games, but obviously, given our record against Aberdeen, I was sort of quietly confident going into it. When we went 1-0 up, I thought, oh, you're out, you're dancer, here we go. But as you say, kind of losing a goal just before half-time and losing a goal just after half-time, I kind of thought, oh, no, don't tell me this is where it all starts to go wrong. But obviously, kind of that didn't happen. We fought back, got ourselves back in front. And didn't resort to Alexander Ball of kind of bringing on every defender that you've got on the bench to defend a 3-2-1. He actually sort of made a couple of attacking substitutions to go to kill off the game. And as you said, we created quite a lot of chances after we were 3-2 up. So you just come away absolutely delighted. And sort of, I know, speaking to a couple of people, the change in atmosphere of just the support is amazing, but certainly the kind of when you're reading sort of wee comments coming out of the dressing rooms and stuff like that, and I mean, kind of they're not being very guarded about it. It's like the every comment you read is something about the change in attitude within the dressing room and how it's a much better atmosphere, stuff like that. So, on to bigger and better things now, hopefully.
Yeah, that's it. And there's quite a few notable players that have drastically improved over the last couple of weeks as well, getting a wee bit of a new lease of life, if you will. The one that really stands out for me is Sean Goss. Pepe mentioned him in last week's podcast, but another excellent performance in the middle of the park. Dean Cornelius, excellent as well. Callum Slattery, looking a lot more confident in addition as well. Yeah, and you think about Slattery last year and the fact that he was in and out of the team and never really got that consistent run of games that he required to push on, because you've got to keep in mind that he came through the system at Southampton. He hadn't much experience of first-team football. That's why he made his move to Motherwell. Under Graeme Alexander, I don't think he really got that consistent run, so we didn't really know what we had with Callum Slattery, but again, a really encouraging performance there. I've mentioned Cornelius. I thought he was absolutely excellent. I watched the game back on Sunday in its entirety just because I've got that wee buzz that I didn't have for quite some time. I would actually have to go back to when the likes of Sherwin Seedorf and Jermaine Hilton came in at the start of the 2019-20 season, that I've actually felt this way about Motherwell. I feel quite excited about the direction the team's going in. I'm really excited about the additions that Stevie Hamill's making to the squad. This is quite an upbeat time, and a time that we're almost in uncharted waters, because it's been so long since we've had that wee bit of buzz about it.
So you're absolutely right again, Andy. It's I think when you point out that sort of Sean Goss and Callum Slattery and Dean Cornelius all looked as if they'd a new lease of life, it's isn't it sort of hard to see why? Because Stevie Hamill's sort of tactics seems to be play the ball to feet, play a lot of passes, and sort of get the midfield involved. Whereas obviously sort of Alexander's tactics were very much launch the ball into the corners and everybody run up and press. So I don't think it's by accident that these guys have started to look like football players, because they've been asked to play football. Obviously in touches, we'd seen that Slattery was a decent ball player. He was quite neat and tidy on the ball, same with Goss. But sort of for large parts of the game, they were just sort of running up and down, watching the ball sort of get over their head. So I think kind of credit to them for sort of sticking with it, but credit to Hamill for sort of to changing the tactics to get them involved. And as you said, it was just a total team performance. We back to front, kind of looking competent. Obviously there's some sort of things that you can flag up about the goals we lost, but kind of the first one is a terrific ball and a great header. It's kind of it's he shouldn't have got away from it shouldn't have got away from the first defender, and the second defender should maybe have kind of closed in on him. But it's at the end of the day, it's kind of it would be nitpicking for that. It's just absolutely delighted, and as you say, kind of it's just a complete turnaround. It's I'm the same. It's I haven't felt this. I haven't felt that this feeling about Motherwell since pre Alexander. It was obviously kind of getting into this season. I was thinking, I don't know kind of how many games I'm going to go to, sort of other than the home games. And sort of then after Saturday, I was like, all right, I'll need to sort out tickets to go down to Kilmarnock after the Livy game. So it's like, it's that excitement's back, and all it took was to kind of change the manager and change the style of play. So, aye, long may it continue, mate.
Yeah, it's really strange times, and sorry, I didn't realise how sore my throat was tonight. So if you stop hearing me, then just give me a nudge, please. But I'll miss Saturday as well. I'm doing Morton against Dundee, so that's now the first four games of the season that I've missed, and I honestly don't know if there's been a year in my Motherwell supporting life that I've missed the first four games of the league season. So, and I'm already got a shift for the following week as well, so I'll miss the first five at the very least. And to be honest, if we keep on getting results, I might just not go back.
Aye, it might have been your fault. You might be the Jonah.
It was nothing to do with the style of football or the players that Graeme Alexander was signing. It was just me going.
All
That
your
was the
fault.
problem.
All your fault.
We talked about positivity and improved performances. Kevin Van Veen's a bit of an interesting one for me, because to be perfectly honest, I don't think that he's hit the levels that he's capable of. But he's already now scored two goals and three in the league, keeping up that ridiculous record he's got against Aberdeen as well. Another confidence booster, and hopefully, if he continues this run of games, he's going to find his level of fitness as well. I think he went into the two Sligo games nowhere near fully fit. Because of a lack of attacking options, he's played against St Mirren, St Johnstone, and Aberdeen as well. Do you think that the two goals are a demonstration of his kind of prowess in front of goal? That record stands him in good stead to go on and hit double figures again this season.
Definitely. To be honest, it's like you were never ever kind of. I was never ever worried about a lack of goals for Van Veen. He showed last season that he's He's prolific in front of goals, given the chance. But as you said, kind of, he was went into the Sligo games, and he was completely undercooked. Obviously, we only had the two pre-season games, and he missed one of them through injury, and sort of didn't really have many training sessions before the first Sligo game. So I mean, it's I was saying after 17 minutes, he isn't fit. You need to take him off the park in the first Sligo game. And that isn't because he's ability or because he's lazy or anything. It was just he clearly wasn't fit. And it's I've sort of seen him sort of in the press saying it's kind of it's I know that I wasn't that I'm not fit enough, and it's I'm gradually getting there and getting there. So it's hopefully sort of it is just game time that he needed. And obviously it was a his two goals, you can say, aye, that's brilliant. It's great. He scored two goals already, but kind of one of them's a penalty, and one of them is basically he's just let the ball bounce off his head and an empty net, which is brilliant. You've got to be in those positions to take the chances, but I've got no doubt once he gets a good bit of fitness under his belt that he'll definitely score double figures for us this season if he avoids further injury and stupid suspensions. I think he'll be challenging for kind of like right up there in the scoring charts this season.
So we're 3 games into the season. We're quite analytical in a sense, but we're not XG and such like. But in terms of myself and Pepe, we quite often break down a calendar month and go, right, okay, that game, that should be a point, that should be 3 points. We'll possibly lose that game. From the first three, you've got St Mirren away, St Johnstone at home, and Aberdeen away. I would have said the maximum points we would have got from that is five, and I think that would have been a really optimistic take given the events just a couple of days before the season kicked off. To win our two away games is absolutely fantastic. Of course, we did have that setback against St Johnstone at Fir Park, but even then, we've only lost that game due to a 94th minute winner. So I think we should be really encouraged by our points tally at this point. We've already got six more than Ross County at the foot of the table. If you even look at it, you've got five more than Hibs, you've got three more than Aberdeen. It's now down to Stevie Hamill to get the team to build upon that, isn't it? And if you can get these points on the board early doors, you can start to look up the table. You can start to kind of push on and forget about the threat of relegation, which, let's be honest, any season we go into, there's always that threat and that possibility that we could be involved in a relegation scrap. What we've done here is we've given ourselves some fantastic foundations to build upon.
I was the same as you. Kind of like you looked at those three games, and to be honest, I was looking at 6 points, but the 6 points I was looking for was because St Mirren and St Johnstone were terrible last season and sort of weren't great in the League Cup. But sort of then after the Sligo game, it was like we've now got 6 points more than I thought we would have at this point. So can I? It's. You can amass points when you can get them because you know that because we are an inconsistent team, we've got to accept that we've got inconsistent players, otherwise they wouldn't be with us. So can I you've got to stack up the points where you can, and that's absolutely amazing. And sort of you now look at the next two games, which I mean, obviously kind of they're winnable or losable, but you go into them with a wee bit of confidence now, and think I'm actually looking forward to them rather than sort of dreading them and just crossing your fingers getting into them. It's I think Stevie Hamill has really identified kind of the areas where we're lacking and hopefully sort of addressing that. And kind of we'll just keep getting better.
How big a week has this been for Stevie Hamill? It really could have went the opposite way. You go to Pittodrie in the back of losing to St Johnstone and see if we get turned over 2 or 3 nothing and didn't put in a performance anywhere near the levels that we did show. Then you've got a bit of a hard sell to the potential new players as well. The fact that he's brought in a academy graduate that's went on to play as a substitute down south in the Premier League for Leeds United. He's coming back up the road to a club that he loves. It just all feels like it's been a real wave of positivity. It could have been completely the opposite way, though, couldn't it? If he gets off to a bad start, then suddenly you're getting the murmurings about the fact that he's not got the experience of being a manager and such like. How big do you think that it has been that he got that first result and then was able to kind of carry it into to making a couple of signings as well?
I think it's been massive, Andy, because it's like obviously, I don't think anybody would disagree with me that we did play well. We played much better against St Mirren than we'd played against Sligo, but we were probably very lucky to come away with 3 points. And then obviously the disappointment of the St Johnstone game, where we didn't really play that well at all, and we only got a very late equaliser through an own goal, and then kind of threw it away with a 94th minute losing goal. Had we gone up to Aberdeen and lost and not put in a performance, that would have been terrible. But the fact is that kind of we went up there. Not only did we take the 3 points, but we put in the best performance of the season. As you say, that was a complete performance. That kind of it just all kind of gelled. It all seemed to work. It seemed as if kind of they've now all bought into the way that kind of Hamill wants to play, and we seem to have the players to kind of do that. A couple of more additions to come in, hopefully before the window shuts. That'll kind of give us cover, like certainly in the left back area. Maybe another defender that we need to get in cover, and we definitely need somebody sort of for a in a more forward role. But I think all of those will come because of the positive style that we play, that people will see, will be able to look at that and see that what Stevie Hamill is going to try to do, and kind of players will buy into that and want to come, rather than sort of coming to somewhere where you're winning but it's no pretty and you're not really involved like it would have been under Alexander. But I think it was massive, kind of, and it's I think Stevie Hamill even said that after the game, that kind of the win was great, but it was a performance that he was really chuffed about. So it wasn't hard to see the change. But aye, brilliant, mate, brilliant.
Yeah, that's it. It's I think it's so significant, the performance, because with the best player in the world and Stevie Hamill, having read his programme notes for Saturday, there's actually a kind of couple of bits with Stevie Hamill on the programme this week. And he talks about the fact that he's not going to try and sell us the dream of winning every week. But what he wants is a team that's committed on the park and a team that provides a level of entertainment as well. And I think that's so important. There was another podcast I did at the start of the week, and the question was asked to me, how much of a Motherwell manager is getting results? And I think that the line of questioning was, is there not a are you realistic enough to accept that you're not going to win every week? And of course we are. I think the vast majority of us don't put too much of a value in results, if that makes any sense. I think that we're level-headed enough to realise that we are going to lose more often than we win. But turning up and losing, there's a way to lose football matches. That was Stephen Robinson's go-to line, but there's a way to lose football matches, and the way that we were losing under Graham Alexander just gave you no hope that things were going to turn around. I think even in the 3 games that Stevie Hamill's been in charge, I can see a clear direction of how he's going to set out his team and his kind of philosophy behind it. I think also the difference maker for me has been the fact that he is so engaging. I think he understands every department of the football club, and that's so important as well. We've got that buy-in, which is really, really significant. I don't think we got that from Graham Alexander. I don't think Graham Alexander, I'm not going to say disrespected the ethos and the kind of community element of the football club, but I don't think he was ever that forthcoming. For talking sake, even when things did resume last year, I would have really hoped that there'd been some sort of meet the manager type arrangement where we at least got to kind of get a wee bit of an insight as to his personality and such like. Instead, what we had to go on was the weekly press conferences, which are quite mundane and full of football cliches, and in Graham Alexander's case, just little fibs about who's injured and who's not injured ahead of the Saturday. But
Thank you.
I I think Stevie Howell's got that automatic support just due to the fact that we do know him well. We know the cut his chip already, but I think he's really, really endeared himself with the way that he's spoken, and the kind of forward thinking way that he speaks as well. It doesn't seem like he's come in with no game plan. He seems to know where he aims to be in 2 months' time, 3 months' time, and then come the January window and such, so on and so forth. I think that's a lot more reassuring as well. I think any doubts that I had over the appointment this time last week have been completely evaporated over the last couple of days, because I just think that every time I hear him speak, I'm more and more sold on the project that Stephen Hamill's taken over. And I was quite intrigued to listen to the likes of Off the Ball on Saturday there, and I caught up after Gordy Reid mentioned the Terrace podcast, where they talked about the fact that they were almost talking in a way that as if he was an interim manager and just carrying us on to the end of the season. You don't give someone a job 2 games into the season if they're going to be an interim. I think that there's a 2-year contract on the table, and I really think that Stevie Hamill already has a vision for how these 2 years are going to go. And it's the first time in a couple of years, as well as being quite excited about the football, that I feel that there's a bit of a set plan there. I don't know if Graeme Alexander ever really kind of had a vision as to where he would be the following month or 2 months' time, whereas it seems kind of all mapped out, and now it's just down to getting the recruitment right.
I kind of on the Alexander thing. It's I sort of I'm of old, always of the opinion that Alexander didn't really put a lot of planning into it, because he thought he was great and some big club was going to come in for him, so he didn't need a long term plan at Motherwell because he saw his future elsewhere. Although he would kind of talk it, as you say, talking cliches and talk about sort of the long-term project, he didn't actually sort of have one. Whereas, as you say, sort of Stevie Hamill, the way that he's talking, it's and obviously where he's came from with the academy, and it's he knows what he's got there, and it's I've spoke to kind of guys who sort of work in the sort of pro youth level sort of thing, and kind of they're all sort of they've all been sort of fairly bullish about the boy Lennon Miller. Kind of saying that he'll definitely sort of feature in the first team probably this season, and obviously kind of we've had a couple of boys on the bench and sort of getting experience from the youths, and it's I think that's obviously a thing that kind of that Mother will survive on, is sort of bringing players through, and obviously in recent years we haven't even sort of brought them through to the first team. We've brought them through and got development fees from them, from people sort of getting in and taking them from the youth academy. But it would be great to sort of see three or four sort of young guys coming through, like Hamill and kind of Lasley McFadden all did. And it's I think the fact that he's gone through that and he's got that plan because he's got the relationship with those boys there. It's that really excites me, but just kind of I can't state sort of how highly I'm now rating Stevie Hamill, because I went from the point of I never ever seen him as an interim manager, but I was always kind of questioning whether it was actually something that he ever had planned, or whether it was an opportunity that came at a point and it's like he'd felt he couldn't say no. But certainly, the way that he's kind of handled himself over the first 3 games that he's been in charge, he certainly does seem as if kind of management has always been a long-term goal he has, and he already had plans in place. Whenever he was going to take it over, they kind of knew exactly what he was going to do and how he was going to implement things, which kind of has got me really sort of energized for him and really, really excited for what's to come from him. Because as you say, kind of he's already got plans laid out for how he sees this season going. And hopefully the players can sort of live up to that for him.
Yeah, that's it. And I suppose the other element is that Stephen Hill was well respected in his academy, or had an academy role. He could have quite easily continued in that role and won himself a move elsewhere due to the great work that he was doing there. Instead, he has pushed his limits and taken on that role. So I think a lot of credit has to go to him for his ambition as well, that he has the drive to succeed as a manager. That's evident by the fact that he put himself forward and applied for it.
Definitely, because the thing is, it's obviously kind of. I mean, I'm already resigned to sort of losing them from the Motherwell family, sort of like within 18 months, because that's the sort of the life of a football manager. You're either really successful, and you'll get a move. Somebody big will come in and offer you a thing that you can't turn down, or things will go really badly. And he'll be sacked. So it's like you know that sort of that's an 18-month cycle. Whereas, as you said, he could have stayed in the youth development, and basically sort of had a job. Sort of if he had sort of planned out, he could have been there for probably as long as he wanted. Because it's I couldn't see anybody coming in as a manager and saying, "Well, I want my own youth." Kind of person, I don't think sort of Motherwell would have put up with that. So I think you're absolutely right that it is kind of it's testament to his ambition that he said, yeah, no, this is the right time for me to actually sort of step up and sort of go through the interview process and then eventually sort of get handed the reins. So aye, brilliant, absolutely brilliant.
Let's continue the positivity and talk about the new arrivals at Fir Park over the course of the week. Firstly, the trialist goalkeeper, Oxbridge, has come in. I can't remember his first name, which is absolutely terrible. Is it Adam?
Aston.
Aston. It is Oxbridge, though, isn't it?
Yes.
Oxbridge? Well, Andy Roxburgh, the sort of goalkeeper, he'd been on trial for quite some time at the club. I believe that Graham Alexander had actually already signed him. So it was a Graham Alexander signing rather than a signing made by Stevie Hamill. It makes perfect sense, though, doesn't it, Jaffa? Scott Fox has went in an interim role as the head of, sorry, the head of goalkeeping, the goalkeeping coach at the club. After the departure of Andy Dibble, who lasted about 2 months in the role, I would imagine that Fox would have aspirations to remain in that role, to be honest with you. I see that he does quite a lot of work with the Community Trust and some of the academy teams as well. So maybe that's somewhere where he's got aspirations to move into. We've got this goalkeeper.
Well, I think did he not sort of set the thing up with Trevor Carson? But did they not
Yeah,
set
I
up
never really.
a goalkeeping academy sort of thing?
Yeah.
So
I never really
it's
saw that
obviously
kind of continue, though.
right. But it was obviously something that he'd thought about. But I think kind of he's took over the coaching because I think he's injured.
Yeah, he is currently injured. Yeah. So it makes perfect sense. We needed cover in that area.
I mean, I think Oxborough has been he's been around the club. I don't know whether he was in Austria, but he certainly got brought on as a trialist against Partick, and then I think kind of I think he sort of he only officially signed, but I mean he's been about the club since pre-season, so aye, good for him.
Yeah, I believe the plan was to loan out Matty Connolly at some point down the line as well. I don't know whether you could maybe. Fox is obviously registered as a player as it stands. I don't think it would be a disaster if you had him as a kind of third choice goalkeeper, Scott
No.
Fox, with Oxbridge as the second one, and then Matty Connolly, hopefully. I think he's been out of Gretna previously, but if you got another chance to get him out there and get him some game time, because it must be a bit demoralising, really. You've got one of the best goalkeepers in Scotland as the number one. You're seeing that there's another goalkeeper coming in. It clearly is with a view to get probably more experience. He signed a new contract in the summer. So, yeah, fingers crossed that it's it's a good chance for him to develop. But in terms of having an understudy to Liam Kelly, who is pretty much immovable in my own opinion, to be honest with you, I don't think that there's any way that Oxford is going to take over from Liam Kelly while Liam Kelly's still at the football club.
No, definitely not. It is interesting though that he's almost the exact opposite of Liam Kelly, because he's like a kind of 6'5" monster. He's a big old unit, whereas sort of Liam Kelly isn't he? So it's good that sort of gives you options as well. But kind of, I'm quite happy he's came in, but kind of I don't see him being there to kind of challenge Kelly. It's, I think he's there just in case anything happens to Kelly. But apparently he was sort of well thought of as a youngster as well. So, hopefully he doesn't need to be called upon, because Liam Kelly's playing so well. But it's good to have him in.
Yeah, that's it. You kind of think back to a couple of years ago with Trevor Carson coming back from injury and kind of returning and looking in good form before he starts getting his injuries, and suddenly you are in the situation where you've not got an able deputy and you're having to scramble about. And we had the likes of Jordan Archer and Aaron Chapman before Liam Kelly came in. So, yeah, I'd say that we're in a better position there because we've addressed the issue should it arise. But touch wood, Liam Kelly avoids any sort of injury. Obviously, the Scotland International's coming up at the end of September as well, which I would imagine that he'll be well in the reckoning for the squad and maybe even push for some game time this time.
I would like to I would just say, I would like to think he's considered for game time.
Yeah, I watched the Hearts game earlier on and Craig Gordon's still absolutely fantastic, it must be said. He made two or three world-class saves, but you get to a point where Craig Gordon's 40 years of age, you're going to need to give someone a chance to experience it. It would be a bit unfair to eventually have to throw Liam Kelly in right at the deep end. I would like to see some of these Nations League games used to give him an opportunity. It's not as if you're replacing Craig Gordon with an inferior goalkeeper. I believe that Liam Kelly on his day is every bit as good as Craig Gordon, and that's a real compliment to Liam Kelly.
Aye, definitely. Especially playing with a kind of probably a slightly better kind of back four than he does with Motherwell.
Yeah, just a bit. In terms of the other arrival, Stuart McKinstry, I touched on it earlier on, has arrived from Leeds United in a season-long loan. This is a big one. The reviews that Stuart's been getting during his time at Leeds, mainly playing with their under-23s side, but he's featured on the subs bench a couple of times for Leeds, and he also came on in a Carabao Cup game against Fulham. It's really rave reviews. Leeds already looking to tie him up to a longer-term contract. But again, it's a player that needs first-team football and needs experience of playing with men and the physicality that comes with that. He's returned back to Fir Park, player that we didn't get to see pull on a claret and amber jersey when he was coming through the ranks and when there was a wee bit of buzz behind him. He seems absolutely thrilled to be back. He's got a fantastic family that will really be over the moon to see him eventually strut his stuff at Fir Park. Stevie Hamill's talked up his credentials. And this is, for me, I'm absolutely thrilled to bits about this because we have become a bit predictable when it comes to plucking players from the fourth and fifth and sixth tier of English football. Guys that come up for a year quite often look like they couldn't be arsed being here, and it just kind of leads to nothing, really. Instead, what we've got here is a guy desperate to prove himself, someone that's got the club right at his heart. I think this is just a fantastic signing. I'm really, really pleased that we've got him here. There was obviously an approach from Hartlepool where Paul Hartley and Gordon Young both are, so he had ties there. But he's opted to come to Motherwell. And really, if he's playing as a wide man, he's going to get his opportunity because we've not got a great deal of options there. So this is a real opportunity for Stewart to make his mark.
I'm absolutely delighted to see him back, and kind of, I'm sort of hoping that it was the Hamill factor that kind of that brought him back. And obviously, as you said, his family are all massive Motherwell fans as well. It's I've played a couple of times with his dad back in the day, who was a decent player as well. So I'm really, really excited because obviously, as you say, kind of you get sort of journeyman in from sort of fourth and fifth tier English football, and it's like you don't know whether their heart's really in it. Whereas this is a boy who's coming up, who's been told basically go and make your mark in the men's game. So he's got to go and sort of prove himself to his club, but he's coming to a club that he loves, grew up supporting, that his family are season ticket holders at, so kind of like they're all willing him on. So it's that sort of double-edged thing of kind of he needs to prove himself to his own club, and he'll want to prove himself to the Motherwell fans that sort of that he's friendly with and kind of grew up with. And I'm really excited about it, because as you say, he's getting absolutely rave reviews from the under 23 games. The kind of Leeds fans, weren't they all kind of particularly pleased that he sort of that he's been left to leave, kind of, because I think they all thought that he was going to make it into the first team this season. So I mean, that all kind of sounds amazing, and just hopefully, the hype isn't just that. It's like hopefully he can absolutely prove himself. But as you say, he has a massive reputation, and Stevie Hamill knows him well. So I'm really looking forward to seeing him.
So with the excitement of all that's been in the last week, we now face our home game against Livingston, a side that haven't won at Fir Park since 2002. Jaffa, you'll maybe remember that game, a 5-1 defeat at Fir Park. It's actually Livingston's only win over Motherwell at Fir Park over all these years. So it's quite a record we've got against them, which hopefully are not just crods by bringing it up. But David Martindale's team have made an excellent start to the season. They pushed Rangers really close in the opening day. They then went to Tannadice and won and started Dundee United's massive dip. And then last weekend defeated Hibs. They look pretty impressive, it must be said. And they'll be coming to Fir Park full of optimism. I saw Martindale talking up the Fir Park surface in an interview today. He only mentioned it about 30 times in the short clip that I saw. They've maybe got a reputation as being a bit up and at them. I suppose we've got the same sort of reputation. But I still think this could be a really interesting game. It's one that, as fans, we'll expect to win. But Livy will be coming full of confidence as well. It's a difficult one to call.
Absolutely, I've got a couple of mates who are Livy fans, and I was talking to them last night, and they are kind of super confident the way that their season has started as well, and they're really pleased with the way that Newbury has started. But and sort of saying, can't wait to see him up against your powder puff defence. And it's like, oh well, I'm not 100% sure, can I, that, because Newbury's goal that he scored at the weekend was incredible, but nobody tackles him. There isn't even a. There's no one puts a challenge in on him. It's the kind of. There's one guy sort
Hanlon's attempt for a
of.
tackle is the worst bit about that. He kind
Yeah.
of he moves his leg and then just sits in his arse.
I mean, to be honest, actually, you don't see the ball moving. It's not as if the kind of Newbley is sort of like moved it from one foot to the other and sort of accelerated away from him. It's just he's kind of dived in at a bad angle and Nubly just ran past him. It's a great finish and stuff like that. And it's he does look like a big old unit, and kind of I think the Motherwell defence will be in for a torrid time with him. But it's like I think all we need to do is challenge him, kind of, which obviously Hibs didn't do. So I'm quite excited about it because it's kind of, I think from the highlights that I've seen of Livingston this season, they've kind of they're not doing the sort of long ball thing kind of this season. And obviously sort of in the last three games, Stevie Hamill's moved us away from that. So I think it's going to be two teams that are going to go at each other. And obviously sort of, as you say, Martindale was really, really excited about playing on our wonderful surface. I think it's got the makings of quite a good game, which probably is a kiss of death and kind of will be a boring 0-0 game. But I think there's two teams that are going to set up to take each other on, hopefully.
And what you mentioned about the kind of surface and the makings of a good game, there's one wee bit of doom and gloom that just kind of crept into the back of my mind there. The fact that we've lost to Sligo, the fact that we've lost to St Johnstone, I'm thinking that puts an extra importance on winning on Saturday, just due to the fact that while we've got 6 points from nine and things are looking good, you don't want to have that struggle to pick up points in your own patch. We need to be making Fir Park a really difficult place to go to. It's been said over the last couple of years that we've got this fantastic surface and other teams come and play good football on it and inevitably come away with the 3 points. It would be good to get those 3 points on the board, the first 3 points of the season at home, and kick on from there and then try and really make Fir Park a wee bit of a fortress.
Until you say that, I hadn't thought about it like that. That's something to think about. But I definitely, now you say that, we definitely need to take something from the game. Obviously, a win would be much more preferable, but we need to avoid a loss, definitely, to pick something up in our home ground. Given the fact that the two home games have been awful.
In terms of a team selection, do you think we'll see any changes from Saturday's win at Pittodrie?
I don't know whether what his thoughts are with McKinstry, whether he gets thrown straight in there. But I think barring any knocks, I don't see any reason for why you would change anything apart from tactically. As I say, if McKinstry is kind of fit, you maybe sort of have him playing out wide from the start.
Yeah, it's the only kind of change I could foresee. I would like to think that we'll stick with what we've got and then maybe introduce the likes of McKinstry, Josh Morris and such if the game isn't going our way. But
I forgot Lamy's back from suspension, isn't he?
Yeah, I think that in terms of, we mentioned Nubly, I think that we'll try and match him up with Bevis, which will be a hell of a battle. That'll be a heavyweight battle, that one. But I think that while Saul made a bit of a mistake in the first half, I reckon that he'll maintain his place. Lamy maybe will have to work a wee bit to get back into the team, just on the basis that the situation was that he could have cost us a win in the opening day, and would have denied Stevie Havill a winning start as well. So I think he'll have a wee bit of a road to redemption, although I do imagine that when you put all your centre-half options there at the moment, that Lamy would be in the top two in most people's lists. But I still think that Johansson and McGabby might get the nod there. But there's no certainties because I can't really remember many Motherwell teams that haven't changed week on week for quite some time.
That is the thing. There is the argument for why would you change a winning team, especially a winning team that sort of put in the performance that they did last week. You're only going to change it to improve it, and it's kind of I actually think Lamy's the best centre half that we've got. So that's why I sort of when I remembered that he was back for suspension, that I thought he would be the one absolute definite kind of change. But you might be right that they may sort of kind of go well, Bevis and Saul got as the win, so start with him and kind of bring Lamy back on the bench, keep McKinstry on the bench as another option. So I don't know. Hopefully the tombola has been thrown out, and that sort of any changes will just be sort of tactical improvements in Hamill's mind rather than just completely random changes that we used to get.
Yeah, and I think the other thing is that while Bevis and Saul both played a part in a win, we did concede two goals, so that might be in the manager's mind as well. So merely playing devil's advocate there, but it will be interesting come quarter to two what Stevie Hamill has decided upon. A few headaches there, but good headaches in the sense that you've got two players that are more than capable of coming in and making an impact. You've got them on the sidelines as it stands. Just a final one before we go, mate. The rumour's been circulating all week. I'll not mention any names as to who it came from, but certainly a better one than the Mark Warburton one was, it must be said. The links to Robert Snodgrass have been picked up by most tabloid outlets over the last 24 hours or so. Seemingly that an offer has been made to the former Scottish international to come to Fir Park and maybe play out the last couple of years of his career. He's certainly been involved in plenty of big money moves over the course of that career, like £7 million to West Ham springs to mind instantly. This is, again, it's another big name being linked to the club, one that's caused a fair bit of excitement amongst the fans. Whether it happens or not remains to be seen, but it's one that I'd be for, certainly. I think that you bring in someone of that sort of experience, it's only going to help the younger guys in the dressing room. He's a big figure, seems to be a kind of a real character around the place as well. So, yeah, it's one that I certainly wouldn't turn my nose up if Robert Snodgrass was to arrive at Fir Park. I didn't know whether the arrival of Stuart McKinstry would maybe override that, but it does seem like the interest still is there, and we'll just need to see how it plays out over the next 24 hours or so.
It was a really exciting to hear him linked with us, because he just seems to be a guy who loves playing football, and you think if he was to come to Motherwell, he's not coming to Motherwell for a payday, he would be coming basically for a laugh. To play football, and you think back to sort of guys who have maybe done that in the past, and it's like you immediately jump to Davy Cooper. Now I'm not for a second saying that Snodgrass would potentially sort of do exactly the same as Davy Cooper did, but it's I think you bring in a player of that stature who's had the career that he's had, and clearly has the ability that he's got, it's going to improve the young players round about him that he interacts with. And it's, I believe that he's a well-liked guy round about dressing rooms. He's not a big time Charlie. He's kind of one of the jokers about the dressing room. So I think that would be a good thing to have as well. But certainly with the young midfielders who are coming through with us, I think he would be a tremendous asset, just for these guys to train with him, and then to see him play. It's, as I said, I don't think that he would be a guy who was just up here kind of just padding his pension or anything like that. I genuinely believe if he chose to come to Motherwell, he'd be coming to do a job. As the week has gone on, I'm not sure that actually kind of there's going to be anything get sorted. That's I really thought there was potential at the beginning of the week that he was definitely going to sign. But kind of, I don't know whether sort of the interest has started to wane or whether kind of other people have kind of caught wind of the fact that he was actually sort of thinking about coming to Motherwell, and it meant that other teams in Scotland were like, we could probably offer him a wee bit more money than Motherwell can. And I don't know whether that's we're going to get gazumped on him. But it would be a tremendous signing, I think. I don't know whether he's got a relationship with Stevie Hamill or not. Again, that would be, if he did, and then kind of that would sort of suggest that he would be coming because of him. And again, would be another reason why you'd want to do well. But I'd be an exciting signing. Not sure it's going to happen though.
Yeah, that's it. It seems like there's a situation in place where we're hoping to, well, Robert Snodgrass is hoping to have a conclusion to this whole scenario by the end of the week. So I guess we've just got to wait and see. I must admit, when I did a wee bit of digging and asked a few questions over the course of the last couple of days, a few people have downplayed it and said that it does look slightly unlikely at this moment in time. But I think that the addition would be huge for Stevie Hamill as well, just having a dressing room leader that really could command respect and just almost help the manager out to a certain degree, where there'll be a lot of things that Stevie is learning on his feet just now, and just having that experience around the place and people to kind of report back to, I suppose, will certainly aid him. So it certainly makes sense, the signing, but whether it happens, as you say, we don't know. So we'll leave that one at the door just now. Hopefully, by the time the podcast comes out, there hasn't been a conclusion, or you'll have just wasted your time listening to this. But anyway, mate, thank you very much for joining me tonight. It's been a pleasure. We're obviously missing Pepe's wisdom tonight, but I'm sure he'll be back next week.
Brilliant. Excellent, Andy. Cheers, mate.
You've been listening to the MFC podcast. As I say, we'll be back next week after the Livingston game. Until then, thank you and goodbye.